Hey, good morning, guys. It's so good to be here with you, worshiping with you. And I hope you all have had a great week and have enjoyed the time of worship today. I'm excited about today's message. We're 1 week away from what we're calling Biscuit Sunday, if you're here joining us for the first time or here online. Really, it's our Commitment Sunday. We've been in this series, Risk It for the Biscuit, for an extended period of time because we took 2 weeks off, but we've been in this series for now 5 weeks, just talking about all the things that we are doing here in this building in order to move forward with what God has called us to do here in our community through each one of us and through this building. And so we're risking it for the biscuit. We're bringing all of this next week into, this time of commitment where we come together and we say, hey, we're gonna give towards what God is doing here in this church. And so today, it's a really important week as we lead up to that. But here's something that, before I get into that, I got ahead of myself. Did any of you guys notice anything different about the building today when you pulled up? Anyone? There's a big yellow sign that's missing that no longer says for lease. So that's an exciting deal for us. Man, for those of you who don't know, like we stepped into this space just to do recordings, and the landlord was gracious enough to do like a month-by-month lease for us, and then, 6 months went by, and we were still here, and we're like, hey, how about you let us, stay here? And so that's the reality. This building, Kairos Church, is no longer for lease, okay? We're here. We're here to stay, and so I'm excited about that. And that was a big deal for us, and we put a little logo up there. We have plans to get another sign up there, but we wanted to put something up. Man, just to let people know, hey, this is where Kairos is at. We've been risking it for the biscuit, and God has been working and moving. And so it is really, really exciting. And this is one of the things that I've seen in my life through risk that I've taken, through risk that maybe we've taken together as a church. I know one thing to be true, that risky prayers, they bring kind of a righteous return. Risky prayers, risky action bring a righteous return. If we're willing to risk it, if we're willing to ask God for what is seemingly impossible for us, if we're willing to risk it all, man, he will bring that righteous return. In Matthew, I want to share Matthew 21:22 with you. And here's what it says. It'll be on the screens if you're with us online. You can follow along there as well. 21:22, and it simply says this: if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. It's a pretty simple scripture. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. There's a key portion to prayer. It's believing. This wasn't a part of my message, but man, as I read about the miracles that took place, those times when people came to Jesus and were like, will you please heal me? And just about every time, you know what Jesus says? As you have believed, it will be done. There's a part of what we ask and what we're willing to risk that requires of faith, requires us to believe that what we're asking God to do, God can do. And that's what we're going to talk about today, risky prayers. Faithfully and doing these risk and prayerfully risking and asking God. And when we do that, God will guide us. God will provide for us, and we believe that God, in the end, will be glorified. And that's what we do all of this for. I want to pray, and then we'll dive into all of this. So pray with me. God, today, as we come before you, man, just to study your word and be challenged by your word, I pray that as we pray about what you're calling us to, the risk that you have for us, both in our own lives and as a church, God, I pray that we would believe the things that we're asking, so that we receive them by faith. God, be with us, speak to us, allow your spirit to move. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Risky prayers. Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you will receive for the things you ask for in prayer. And I want to share three risky prayers with you guys today. Three risky prayers, three risky stories from the Bible where, three people came to God and asked for something pretty outrageous. Now, we've been talking a lot about, Moses and the Israelites in that journey. We've been doing that pretty much all year long about them being in the wilderness. And a few weeks ago, we talked about Joshua. And one of the things about risky prayers and risky action is that if you're willing to risk it for God, he's going to guide you. And we see that with Moses and the Israelites. He guided them, right, through the desert. And he showed them where they were going and how they were going to get there. And as Joshua took over for Moses, he guided them and he gave them a plan. You go into, them taking over Jericho, and God had this plan. It was a risky plan, but God guided them, and they succeeded. I was even thinking about Caleb and Joshua. Before they entered into the promised land, you remember they sent out some scouts just to go see what was going on in the land, and only two of the scouts came back and said, let's go do this thing. It's risky, but we believe that God can do it because he's by our side, and it was Caleb and Joshua, and he was guiding them the whole way. Now, all of this entire story, Joshua's been a part of it, and he's seeing God work, and he's seeing God move, and that leads Joshua to probably one of the most audacious, risky, bold prayers that you can see in the Bible. Now, it's going to be in Joshua 10. We're not going to go to it just yet, but you can turn there in your Bibles. It'll be on the screen in just a minute, but I want to give you a quick backstory. So Joshua and the Israelites, they take over, Jericho, and then they defeat Ai. And, stories of the Israelites and really the God of the Israelites is spreading across the land. And people in the land are beginning to be fearful. And there's a people called the Gibeonites, and they hatch this plan to deceive the Israelites so that they don't destroy them. And so they act like they are from a faraway country and a faraway land, that they need help and that they would be their servants. And, Joshua and the Israelites being lied to, they say, okay, yes, we will protect you, we will help you, we will provide for you, and you will serve us. And so this happens, and five other nations within the kingdom find out about what the Gibeonites did, and they decide, you know what? This is wild that the Gibeonites have done this. Let's band together, five different nations, five different kings come together to attack the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites, of course, call out to the Israelites and say, hey, these people are coming against us because we've joined forces with you. Will you come and protect us? And that's exactly what Joshua did. So in Joshua 8 is where we're going to be. I believe it's 8. No, it's 8 verses 9 through 13. No, Joshua 10, 8, 9, and 13. So here we go. Joshua 10, 8, 9, and 13. Here's what it says. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them, for I have handed them over to you. So he's talking about these other five nations. Not one of them will be able to stand against you. It goes into verse 9. It says, Joshua, caught them by surprise after marching all night from Gilgal. And then I want to step over to verse 11. And it says, as they fled before Israel, the Lord threw large hailstones on them from the sky, and they died. And more of them died from the hail than the Israelites killed with the sword. And here comes Joshua's audacious prayer. You ready? On the day that the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the presence of Israel, and he said this. He said, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon over the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on its enemies. What a wild, risky, bold prayer. To say, hey, God, we're running out of daylight. We don't want our enemies to get away. Will you just real quick, could you make the sun stand still for us? Just a minor little thing, God. I don't think it'll affect anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a bold prayer. And it happened because of Joshua's faith. And I'm thinking about, man, what would cause Joshua to pray something so big and so risky? And what's so interesting about this is it wasn't really for the Israelites. It's so the Israelites could save a nation that deceived them. But Joshua still said, you know what? We gave them our word. God, help us defeat our enemies. I had to think, why would Joshua do this? And I think Joshua, man, all throughout his life, through his childhood, as he grew into a man and the things that he's done as an adult, he's seen God work and move in miraculous ways. And he came to this realization that there is nothing his God can't do. And I'm reminded of Joshua 1:5. Right as Joshua and the Israelites begin to take the promised land, this is what God says. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. And throughout the first of chapter, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Have faith. Have faith. And that's what Joshua does. And he goes to God and he asks this huge prayer, and God answers it. Joshua was willing to risk. Joshua was willing to pray bold prayers and take action. And through it all, God was with him. God guided him. And it goes back to Matthew 21. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And so he believed, and he said this risky prayer, and because of that, he gained righteous guidance, right? And that's the thing. Risky prayers bring righteous guidance. God will guide you. If you're willing to go after it, to what seems impossible to you, God will guide it. So I was thinking about this in our lives, the sun stands still prayer. I told you, you know, the four least sign is off. Us even being in this building was kind of a crazy, risky thing, but God guided us here. And so a sun stand still prayer for us would be for me to go to the landlord and say, hey, listen, I know what you are asking for the lease for this place, but would you be willing to take a third of that? A third of that, because that's really what we can afford. It's risky. It's bold. Why in the world? This is a great location. It's a huge space. There's a lot of traffic here. This is a prime space. Why in the world would a landlord allow me to get in here for a third of the cost? It was bold. But we asked. And we prayed and we moved and we acted. And God guided us all along the way. Even in the midst of a pandemic, God is here. Even in the midst of uncertainty, we are here now in this space for a third of what they were asking for the lease. That is a big deal. It's a sun stand still prayer. That's like, if you're willing to risk it, God will guide it. But the other thing is that if you're willing to risk it, God will also provide it. Because he's our provider. Risky prayers also bring righteous provision. The second story I want to share with you is from the book of 1 Samuel. It's a story that always kind of, I don't know, it speaks to me in a huge way. It's a story of the prophet Samuel and his mother, Hannah. Quick backstory here. Hannah wasn't able to conceive a child. And her husband, you know, he still loved her, but that was a big deal back then. If you couldn't conceive then a child, then you couldn't carry on the family line, and that was kind of your purpose back then. And she couldn't do it, and she was made fun of, and she was ridiculed, and every year they would go to worship at the temple, and one year she's there, she's praying to God, and she's weeping, and she's mourning, and she's crying out to God, and she prays this audacious prayer where she is so desperate for something that she's willing to also give it up. So let me share this prayer for you. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. Deeply hurt, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept with many tears. Making a vow, she pleaded, "Lord of hosts, if you will take notice of your servant's affliction, remember and not forget me, and give your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut." So the one thing that she desires is a son. But in her bold ask of God, hey God, if you give me this, I'm not gonna just keep it for myself. No. I'm gonna give what you have given me, I'm gonna dedicate him back to you. And I think it's such a wild thing, because think about it as a mother or even as a father, you know, asking God to give you a son and then saying, you know what? He's yours. For the rest of his life, for all the days of his life, he is gonna be dedicated to you. And God kept his promise, and Hannah kept hers. And she took him back to the temple, probably when he was 2 or 3 years old, and dedicated him to the Lord. And he lived there with Eli, and he became the prophet Samuel, and he did mighty things for God. And I think this is one of the things we need to remember. Yes, God is our guider. Yes, he is our provider. But in our provision, we must remember that we are meant to bring him glory. The things that God gives us, the things that God provides us with, are in order for us to dedicate our lives and the things that we have to him, to bring him glory. And so, yeah, God provided this space for us to use at our full capacity for his glory, but guess what? It ain't ready. And we've been working hard, and we've been painting, and we've been renovating, and we've been ripping up carpet, and we've been installing, you know, lights and wires and fixing AC units and installing bathrooms. I don't know if you guys saw the big old hole in the wall in the front room there. We're putting a bathroom in because there's no bathroom out there. And we're doing all these things, and we're cleaning, and we've been cleaning a lot. There was a lot to clean, and we're working, and we're doing all this stuff, all in order to get this space ready to be the church that God has called us to be in our community. to bring hope to the lives of people around us. That's why we do all of this. But more than that, man, God calls us just to live out our values as a church. Man, to engage those who are not yet Christians, to equip one another as Christ followers, to get up and go and share the good news, to create a community where people can come, where they can be welcome, where they can be accepted, where they can be loved, where they can be, man, find hope in their lives, where relationships can be reconciled. And so the more than just what God is able to do for us here as a church, to be a church here in this space, we want to take what we're doing here and we want to take it out into the community. What's so cool about this space, guys, is as we launched the church, I've always had this dream to open a coffee shop. It's always just been on the back of my mind. And through the last 3 years, God has kind of guided me and shown me a few things, and he's led us to this place, and he's you know, let us be partners with certain ministries here in the area. And there's one ministry that we partner with. It's called Echo Ministries. It stands for Everyday Christians Helping Orphans. They help provide clothing items and other things for, you know, children in foster care or in non-relative or relative care. And so we've been partnering with them. And I met with Jennifer Stirk, who was the head of Echo, probably about a year and a half ago. And I said, hey, I got this wild idea. It's kind of crazy, but I'd love to open a coffee shop called Echo Coffee Shop. And a percentage of the proceeds go directly to supporting you and your cause. And we get into this space, and it's in this strip mall. And yeah, it's set up for a church, but that front area looks awfully a lot like a coffee shop, yeah? And so I walk into this space and I say, you know what? God's been birthing something in me. He's been calling me to do this thing. I wonder if I could go big and risk it all and open a coffee shop right here in this place for multiple reasons. One, to allow us to have community right here at the doorstep of our church. Number two, to love the fatherless. That's what our church is about, right? We say we're going to love the fatherless. We're going to come alongside those who are orphans, who care for orphans. By partnering with this ministry and helping support this ministry, it was so wild, y'all. I was talking to Jen probably about a month and a half ago, and she was telling me, and I don't know if she wants me to share this. I'm going to share it anyway. Sorry, Jen. And she said to me, God's been really putting it on my heart to go full-time with Echo Ministries. And I said, well, hey, guess what? God's been putting something on my heart where I can support you going full-time. And you see these things begin to take place, and you see these things begin to happen. And so we want to allow the front part of this building to be Echo Coffee House, you know, 6 days a week, so that we can love on our community and bring our community into this place and create a place of community and also support foster care. And it's going to be something huge that we get to do that. Now, let me just say this. The coffee house and the church are two separate entities. One of them is a personal aspect of mine, a dream of mine that God has called me to, and it just so happens to be a part of what we're doing. So as we do Risk It for the Biscuit, know that all the money that is from Risk It for the Biscuit is going towards the church, not the coffee house. But I wanted you to understand that being in this place, being provided with this space, man, God is setting some things out that I had never even thought or imagined would be taking place. But I prayed about them, and I dreamed about them. And it's my hope a year from now that we will be able to have a coffee house in the front of our church that is supporting foster care, that is raising awareness about foster care, that is bringing community right to the footsteps of our church, and is helping us love the fatherless. And that's my prayer. And so God has guided us here, but there's so much that God has given us that we need to make sure that we are remembering to give him glory with. And that's our plan, that with every inch, every square foot of this building, we would give him glory because he has provided this for us. So he's our provider, he's our guider, and it's all for his glory. And that's why we leap, that's why we sacrifice, that's why we are generous, that's why we take these huge risks. When we are willing to risk it, God gets the glory. We risk it for him. Risky prayers bring God glory. Here's my third and final story, third risky prayer, and it's from Daniel, the book of Daniel. It's Daniel in the lion's den, and I think most of us are familiar with this story, right? Daniel, he's serving the king, in Babylon, and he's, you know, God is, you know, just raising him up the ranks, and people are jealous of him, and so they hatch this plan, man, to get him thrown into the lion's den. And so Daniel is someone who is praying all the time. And the other people who wanted to be in charge or have the role that he had found that the only thing that they could bring against him was that he prays a lot. So let's get the king to pass this law that no one can pray to any god or any human except for King Darius. And so the king passes this law. He said, yeah, that sounds good. I think people should pray to me. And you know what I'm saying? Like, he's getting pretty prideful. And immediately after the law is passed, what's Daniel do? He goes home. He shuts his door. He gets down as he always does, and he prays. And he prays. And we don't know what Daniel is praying. But you can only imagine that this man is just praying that God would do mighty things, that God would do miraculous things, that he's praying some risky prayers. And in his obedience and in his faithfulness in God, God was ultimately given glory. So let me take you now to Daniel 6. We're going to be in chapter 6. We're going to do verse 26 through 27. Here we go. Verse 26, and this is, okay, so this is after they throw Daniel in the lion's den, and after they bring him out of the lion's den, right? I think I might have jumped ahead of myself. No, I didn't. I'm good. And this is what the king says, right? I issue a decree that in all my royal dominion, people must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His dominion has no end. He rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth, for he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. It goes on to say, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius. But, I mean, just think about this. A man who signed a document, right, passed a law that says, man, I must be praised. I must be worshipped. I must be glorified. He then flips it completely and says, man, there is something about the God of Daniel. He is the one true God. He is the God who saves. He is the God who provides. He is the God who is there no matter what. And now you have a king giving glory to God because of Daniel's risky prayers. He wasn't willing to fold or bend on his faith, and because of that, it led him to a man, to a king, giving God glory and telling the king and having the king make the entire nation give him glory. This is what God does. He guides us. God provides, and in the end, God is given glory. I don't know if you figured it out, but all these stories, they all have one thing in common. All three of them were going to God in prayer. Risky prayers, bold prayers, audacious prayers. Joshua prayed in the midst of battle. Hannah prayed, weeping, kneeling at the altar. And then you have Daniel praying, even though it was against the law. And one of the things that I love about this is how the king even went to God on the behalf of Daniel. So jump over to Daniel 6, 16. It says, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel, and they threw him into the lions. Then the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. And verse 18 says, then the king went to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. So isn't it interesting that this man, this king, who seemingly had no connection to God whatsoever, is now praying that Daniel's God would save him. And now he's taking the entire night while Daniel is in trouble to fast and go to God and petition to God, say, keep him safe. Darius, he's praying and he's fasting. Also that God can do what God needs to do. And it's because of this bold prayer that Daniel would be rescued from the mouth of the lions. And the next day, you know, the king goes, he goes to the lion's den, they roll away the stone, and he says, Daniel, you okay? He goes there with eager anticipation because he believed. He believed in Daniel's God. Verse 19, it says, at the first light of dawn, the king got up, hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel, Daniel, the servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And we all know the answer. Yes, he did. God is a God who provides, who guides, and in the end, he's given glory. King Darius believed that. He believed that. He prayed about that. He had faith, and he saw God do miraculous things. And it's because our risky prayers, they bring a righteous return. What's Matthew 21, 22 say? If you believe, you will receive. When you ask in prayer, it requires us to have this faith in God that, and no matter what I ask, if it's for him and it's for his glory, I will receive it. And that's the key to all of this. It's prayer. If we are not going to God, if we are not petitioning God, if we are not asking God to guide us and to provide for us, if we aren't believing him, it's not going to happen. As we draw closer to Commitment Sunday, I think it is also imperative that we spend time in prayer and asking God to do the miraculous. We've seen it. We've seen it in the last 6 months. We've seen it in the life of our church. God has done miraculous things in our midst. And not just for our church, but I know from reading your Connect cards that God has been doing miraculous things in your life, pulling you from an addiction, breaking you away from the fear that once held such a tight grip on you, mending a relationship, bringing your family together, or maybe it was just mending a hurt that you've been holding on to for so long. God has been working and he's been moving, and we want him to keep doing that in our lives, but we also want him to do that for people that don't know about the hope that we found in Jesus. And so we pray. We go to God and we ask him these things. God, guide us individually and collectively. God, provide for us individually and collectively. God, do those things so that we can continue to bring you glory through your church, through salvation in your son, Jesus. So here's what I want to do. As we enter into this next week, it's the week before Commitment Sunday, I want to challenge you, I want to challenge all of us as a church, here in person and also online, I want to challenge you to a week of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. If you're not familiar with fasting, it can be food, it can be anything. I'm not telling you to not eat for a week. I don't even know if I can do that. I would like to, but you never know. But what I'm saying is this week, if you're willing to do this, commit to fast one thing. Maybe it's Netflix. Maybe it's social media, Instagram, Facebook. Maybe it's just being on the news all the time. Maybe it's going out to eat. Maybe it's coffee, right? That's difficult. That's what I'm going to do, y'all. Pray for me. It's risky prayer for me to fast that. And so you choose this one thing. Say, you know what? I'm going to forego this thing. And then anytime you have a desire or you're feeling tempted, that's when you say, you know what? I'm going to go right now to God and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that he gives me the strength to not give in. I'm also going to pray about what God is calling us to do as a church, how he's calling us to move. I'm going to pray about what he's calling me to risk so that God's church, his community, can continue to reach people for Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and we're going to fast this week. And we want to come alongside you as well. So what we've done is I've had the staff write out these devotionals. So every day of this week, as you fast, we're going to send out some communication to you. It's a little devotional about fasting, about what your prayers, about what your fasting is going to mean for our church. And we just want to encourage you and inspire you throughout the week. We are doing this with you. We are here with you. We are coming together and we are praying and lifting our voices to God, saying, God, continue to do what you've always done. Continue to provide, continue to guide, continue to be given glory through us. So I'm going to challenge you. Here's what I want to say. If you're going to say, I'm going to commit to this, I'm going to make you really commit to this. You know, Barney was here and he talked about the Connect card. Bring that Connect card out. If you're online, you can click on the link. You fill out that Connect card. And in the prayer section or the praises section, will you just simply write the word fasting, or I commit to fast this week? Just write that for me. And then I would even challenge you to go a step further. So maybe we can hold you accountable. Let us know what you're going to be fasting. And maybe you don't know right now, but as soon as I said it, you knew what you had to be done with for a little bit, right? So you can focus on God. So in the Connect card, right now, just go on the back, prayers, praises. Write the word fasting, what you're going to fast. Go online, click the link, enter in the information, pull up a tab, whatever. Write the word fasting and what you're going to fast. And let's this week, all week long, let's be praying bold prayers, risky prayers about how God wants to use us and use our church. Now, what I want to do, as you guys are going through that, as you're filling that out, here's something else that I want to encourage you with. Here in house, there should have been one of these cards. These are our pledge cards for next week. And there should be an image. They can put an image up on the screen. And that's going to be for you guys online. You can take a screenshot of it or take a picture of it. Here's what I want you to do as you're fasting this week. I want you to take this commitment card with you. Don't fill it out yet. Just be praying about it. This kind of outlines what our commitment is going to be over the next year and what God is calling you to do and calling you to risk. So just hold this with you. Take this with you. You can take that. If you're here in person, take this with you. Have this with you. Keep it on your person. Fold it up. Put it in your pocket. In those moments where you're fasting and you're being tempted, pull it out and pray over it. And just take some time this week to pray over what God is calling you to do in order to help His church reach even more people in our community. I want you guys to do that. What will you fast this week in order to gain clarity on the risk that God is calling you to take? Now, there's one more thing I want to do before I close out service today. You know, I talk about prayer being a vital part of everything that we do. And I can't think of a better way to kick off a week of prayer and fasting than to spend some time together as a church in prayer. So here's what I'm going to do. These guys are going to continue to play behind us, here in person and also online. For the next minute or so, I'm going to ask that you would join me in prayer. Just in prayer, lifting up the church, lifting up our community of people, lifting up those people that maybe aren't here or haven't been able to come back, lifting up our schools and our teachers and all of our kids going back. Let's just spend some time in prayer. I'm going to step down from the stage. I'm going to pray right here at the front of the stage. And I would encourage you, you can come join me at the front, or you can pray right there at your seat at home. Maybe just find a spot, or just, man, set distractions aside. And let's go to God right now, and let's pray. Let's pray big, bold, risky prayers. Let's pray that God would continue to make the sun stand still, that He would continue to provide for things that we could bring Him glory. Let's pray those things. Right now, would you guys join me where you're at? Either stand or come join me up front. I'm going to step down. God, right now we come before you as a body of believers, asking and praying for you to continue to do the impossible. God, we believe you are a God of the miraculous. We believe that you are a God that can move mountains. We believe that you are a God that can break strongholds. God, we are believing now that through our church, through this church, through this body of believers, you are going to use us both collectively as a church community and individually as a believer to help bring hope into our community, to help those who have not heard about your son to know about your son and give their life to him. God, we are coming before you and we are asking that you would continue to guide us and provide for us. We can't do it without you. We can't do it without your presence. God, and all along the way that you would equip us and challenge us and continue to shape us and mold us to be more and more like your son. God, I am humbled to be standing here, to be your servant, to be a part of this church, to be a part of this amazing body of believers. God, I pray that you give us strength and encouragement and hope this week as we pray and as we fast. God, and I am praying that as we pray these risky prayers, and I am believing that we will see this righteous return, this righteous provision. And through it all, God, we would give you all the praise and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.